The Blitz, KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number. You just have to hit us up on the text line this hour because we're completely full. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ Is The Real, at Jon Snow, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. And you missed the first hour? Kind of all over the place. A little bitching about the NFL, a little college football, and a little tra-la-la, which...
Ooh.
Yeah. Horns fan asks, I'm going to go ahead and need you to send me the link to that Aggie Yell Leader tra-la-la video. Thanks in advance. It's on YouTube. Just do Aggie tra-la-la. You'll find it. All right. This is...
Ooh.
I like that part. That's my favorite part.
My ding-ding-dong.
My ding-ding-dong.
All right. This is where we take you through all the games coming up Sunday in the NFL. And we do it with an eye towards the point spread, but if you're not a gambler, it's okay. We're still going to talk about who we think is going to win and why. And if you are a gambler, I know a lot of you guys do these pools where you have to pick every game. So we'll give you our thoughts, but I have to be honest. I've only found two things I like so far Sunday, and they're both overs. So we'll start with the first game, though. Giants -3 at the Rams. And yeah, I can't really buy into the Rams. Can't really buy into the Giants right now either. I kind of feel like if you made me take a side here, I'd take the Rams getting points at home.
I'll have the Giants in this game. It's probably a play actually for me. Okay. So I don't love it, but it's on a week where there's not much for me to play. This is what I've gotten to.
Sounds like you're holding your nose as you're betting.
I don't think. I mean, that's what they say. You're supposed to feel that way.
Yeah. The thing is, I think the Giants are a better team, but they sure haven't done enough to prove it.
They've not.
And every time I bet on them, they let me down.
And their health situation is so frustrating, yeah. But I think the Giants are the right side here.
Minnesota and Philadelphia, the Vikings unbeaten coming off a bye week. 3-point favorites on the road against the Eagles. Sam Bradford returns to a place where he wasn't very good. I'm interested in two things here. I know that Vikings defense is pretty good, but 39.5 seems like an awful low number. So I'm going to be looking at that as a possible overplay. And I kind of think I'm going to take the Eagles +3. I think this is going to be a close game. Take the home team and the points.
I'm with you. Carson Wentz at home has been very, very good. I don't know that they'll win, but I think 3 is a good number.
And I think it's another one. The Vikings are the kind of team, if they get the lead on you and can come after your quarterback, they're very tough to beat. If the Eagles can get an early lead and get it up to 10 or so, and Sam Bradford has to beat you, I think that game could get out of hand. Saints +6 at the Chiefs. It's hard for me to believe in road Saints. I do like this Chiefs team. It's another one. I couldn't make myself pull the trigger on this. But if you ask me to pick a team inside of 7, I'll take the Chiefs here.
I think I like the Chiefs as well.
I'm also another thing that I'm actually looking at is under 50.5, because the Saints do not score as much on the road, and the Chiefs have a very good defense. As much as I've ridden the Saints over train all year long, I might go Oppo this week. Redskins +1 at Detroit. I really have no clue who's going to win this game. The Redskins every week surprise me. They play better than I think they're going to play. And I think Matt Stafford's playing great right now. He's not very good on defense. I have no idea which way to go.
It's a game I'm not interested in. If I'm forced to, I'd lean Lions.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Here's one that I'm actually going to play. Browns getting 10 at Cincinnati. The Browns are not that awful. For a winless team, they're pretty well coached. They hang around. They cover spreads. They're not good enough to win, but they cover spreads. And Cincinnati's not that good. Cincinnati wins, but 10 points. I'll take me some Brown action here, and I think this is an actual play for me.
Yeah, it's not a play for me, but if I were, that would be the side I'd be on. I don't think you can give 10 points with the Bengals right now.
Yeah, trust me, it's another one where I'm holding my nose because I'm betting on Cleveland.
Yeah.
But at plus 10, once it got to that, I'm like, yeah.
The problem is they've played teams that are, I'd say, in that same range as the Bengals a couple times this year on the road. They lost 29-10 at Philadelphia, and they lost 31-20 at Washington.
Right.
And, I mean, Cincinnati to me is basically in that same grouping with those teams. So, yeah.
But could be.
They're not very good on the road, although they played them close. They played Tennessee close last week.
And Miami.
Yeah. So,
which I think is also in that.
I think Miami's worse than them. Miami to me is bottom of the barrel, damn near.
And you know what else it is? Double-digit division
dog. That it is. Man, this is a weird thing for Cleveland because five of their first seven games of the season are road games.
Yeah.
That's rough, man.
Especially when you're not good to begin with.
Yeah.
The not-so-lowly Buffalo Bills, 2.5-point favorites at Miami. I like that inside of three. I don't know if I'm going to play it, but I'll take the Bills to cover 2.5.
Honestly, if it gets to three, it depends on what's going on with Shady McCoy. If it gets to three, I'll probably like the Dolphins here.
Yeah. That's more of a number thing. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but I'm not betting on the Bills without LeSean McCoy because then you're asking Tyrod Taylor to do a lot, and I don't know that he's ready for that.
The
QB rating's been nice, but he's one of these guys who's been – it's been
– well, it's helped that McCoy's been so good.
Right.
That's freed him up to do a lot of things.
But they've not asked him to go down the field much. This wide receiving core has not done much. Not that they are expected to do much because they all suck. But without that run game, I don't know what the Bills' offense will look like.
And that's the one reason they've done so well, frankly, is that they've been balanced because McCoy's been so good. It's freed Taylor up. Raiders are plus one at the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't like the noon start for West Coast, but you know what? They had to do it in Baltimore.
People are getting on your ass about the Rams being a home team. They're playing in London, so there's no home field advantage.
And I'm definitely on the other end then with the Giants. So never mind. I always forget that game's in London. All right, where the hell were we now that you guys have ruined my train of thought?
The game after Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, Oakland at Jacksonville. Negative body clock game. I think Oakland wins that game. More importantly, I like the over 47.5.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I won't play it. I wanted to play the Jags, but I just hate the Jags so much I can't bring myself to do it.
There's certain teams that I just...
The Raiders traveling to the East Coast is a struggle for me, but that's I like the Raiders. For some reason, the last few weeks, I've been against them against the number, and it's worked out for me. This might be another instance of that.
I think they win the football game, and they're plus one. So here's an interesting line.
Interesting line.
When weather nice in Houston, Colts plus three at Tennessee.
Boy, this is one of the toughest ones of the week, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what either of those teams really are. Tennessee's impressed me lately.
I want to take Indianapolis here. I want to.
I do, too. I mean, that's my initial reaction, obviously.
And plus, on my bookie, the plus three is even money.
Oh.
They're
begging you.
They're begging me to take Indianapolis.
DeMarco Murray's going to have his way. With that defense, though, I'd probably it's obviously a no play for me. I'd probably lean Titans.
I'll probably lean Colt. So, but yeah, that is one of those games where, and that's why I had a hard time finding much to play. I think almost all these numbers are exactly where they should be. Raven plus two at the Jets.
You want to take a guess?
Wait, let me do my AJ impression. I'll take the Ravens.
I'll take the Ravens.
I will, too. The Jets are a joke right now.
Geno Smith? I mean, what are you doing here?
And that's not to say the Ravens are any good, because I don't think they are.
Specifically, the last few weeks, they've been horrible.
And Flacco may or may not play, which could be an issue. But I'll still take backup Raven versus backup Geno Smith. And, I'm with you on the plus two there. San Diego Chargers plus 6.5 at Atlanta Falcon. That number under 7, probably going Falcon. If it gets to seven, I might go the other way. Chargers are, I mean, they've been in every game. And Philip Rivers is playing well. They're going to score some points. I think the over-under is 54, which is too high for me. But, yeah, I think I'll lean Falcon here inside of a touchdown.
I like the Falcons, too.
Tampa Bay minus one at San Francisco 49er.
I think I have to take Tampa.
I don't want to.
They've not played well, but...
I don't want to.
I mean, Carlos Hyde is at least a little bit hurt.
Yeah.
I've got to go with Tampa.
I always forget about these damn London games.
I don't know.
I think I have to take Giants because now that I go back and look at it. All right, Patriots minus 7.5 at Pittsburgh. Boy, I was so looking forward to this game.
It was going
to
be so good.
And now it's Landry Jones. I got to think the Patriots feast on him here. Even outside a touchdown, I think I have to take New England.
No play for me.
No real play. I'm just, you know.
I'm not betting on the Steelers with Landry Jones at quarterback. I'm just not. But that, I mean, that's the side I wanted in this game to begin with. It's not going to happen.
And the Sunday night game. What do you think the ratings are going to be for Seahawks Cardinals?
It should be good. I mean, that's
a game that okay, you and I'll be interested in
because with the Steelers matchup, the Steelers Patriots matchup, basically losing about 50% interest to me. That becomes the game of the week by far. Right. And I like that game a lot. I like Arizona in that game actually quite a bit too.
I think I might lean Seahawk there.
Okay,
but again, no play. The only, and we'll talk about Broncos are now minus 8.5 against the Texans.
That's getting to where I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, I wasn't interested to begin with. I'm getting less and less interested by the minute. But
I mean, is there a number where you're going to bet on the Texans? Outside of 10, maybe?
Outside of 10.
Yeah.
But even then, I've seen this act on the road against
that's
good
the
teams.
Yeah, but and here's what
and even with 10 points, I'd feel like I was up against it.
I said the same thing. It, you know, the Texans on the road against good teams, it's been nightmarish. Are we sure the Broncos are a good team is the real question.
No, but they're the kind of team that if they get the Texans down, and they will, they can look really good.
Yeah.
And that's what concerns me. So, to recap, my only actual plays so far, and I may change this, and if I do, they'll be on the website tomorrow or Saturday. Cleveland plus 10. I am taking the Browns. And I am taking the over 47.5 with the Derek Carrs at the Blake Bortles. Those are my two official plays for the week. So
my official plays for the week will be on Twitter. I don't know yet. I'm okay. Still doing some work.
Yeah, well, I had to come up with a couple today because I do that gambling guide, and people always want the NFL games in there. So I put them in there. And just so you know, I will update it tomorrow. I'm going to add some horse plays just for those of you who like that. And apparently a lot more people like it after last week. But and I usually add one or two college games. I have one CFL play on there that I'm just pounding like a dog. So, all right. Speaking of pounding, you need a new good mattress for that, don't you?
If you do, of course.
And the best place to get one, Texas Mattress Makers. And I love Texas Mattress Makers. There's the reason they were Houston's best mattress store from the Houston Press. It's because they're not just the best mattress store in Houston. They're the best mattress store anywhere. And if you're over in Beaumont, it's worth the drive, guys, because here's what they do. They make the mattresses right there, quality mattresses. Sell them directly to you. You're going to get them custom fitted so you sleep like a champ. You're already saving 50% off of what you pay in a retail store where they've marked the prices way up. They don't need to do that because they're selling them to you directly. Right now, you're going to save from 5 to 50% more simply because they want to help kids sleep. Here's what they're doing right now. For every purchase of $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers is donating a bed to a Houston child in need. And you may not be aware of this. I certainly wasn't, but there's a list of more than 20,000 children under the age of 16 that are waiting for a bed and they're unable to afford it. And that's just in Houston. And thanks to the Better Night's Sleep program, they provided mattresses, bed frame sheets, and pillows and blankets to over 5,800 children in need. So when you go and you get this awesome mattress from awesome people, from the champs, and save a bunch of money, for every purchase of $500 or more, they're going to donate a bed to a child in need. How about that? So you're helping yourself. You're helping somebody else. That's why I love Texas Mattress Makers. Yuval and the gang over there are fantastic. They take care of you. They love the Blitzers. Go visit them. Texas Mattress Makers at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Buy a great new bed and get one for a kid, too. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz. Brought to you by acceptanceappliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, I'm going to give something away because I love the people. How about this? Mafia 3 Xbox One game. I think I'm giving mine away here. Family, betrayal, revenge. Win a copy of the new Mafia 3 Xbox One game and enter the brutal open world of organized crime. Build your crime family and rule the open world of 1968 New Bordeaux, Louisiana. Or play the other side and be Lincoln Clay, military-grade badass out for revenge against the mob. Mafia 3 will blow your mind with intense gunfights, heart-pumping hand-to-hand combat, and white-knuckle seat-of-your-pants driving. Mafia 3 is out now on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Rated M for mature. Get yours now. Caller 25. I can pretty much tell you which side I will be on if I do get this game. I will not be the military-grade A badass out for revenge against the mob. I will be the mob.
Oh, not me.
I'm all about that mob. 210 asked, tra-la-la, Aggie, what the hell did we do now? You didn't do it recently. This goes back to your Big 12 days when you were going to Kansas State.
Howdy. We're the Texas Aggie Yell Leaders, and we're in Manhattan, Kansas, getting ready for the Kansas State. And this is how we get ready for football games.
Oh, you touched my tra-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
Yeah, that's what you did.
La, 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 la.
And you're on YouTube, so.
Ooh, you touch my ta-la-la.
Don't blame us for bringing this back up. This is on whoever it was that tweeted out the thing of us is with the Aggie thing.
That was Dustin.
Dustin, okay. Yeah, this is all on Dustin. Did you see this list of the best, the ultimate standings that ESPN did for every team in every sport and ranked them? They do this every year.
They did the what now?
They do their ultimate standings where they rank their, they ask fans to vote on their favorite teams and then rank all 122 sports franchises from top to bottom. And here's their criteria.
Why are they doing it? Isn't this like summertime stuff?
Yeah, it is. It is. But I'm totally baffled at who they have number one here.
I love the internet, but man, they waste a lot of time.
They do. But here's what they use as their criteria: title track, ownership, coaching, players, fan relations, affordability, stadium experience, bang for your buck. If I gave you 20 guesses, you'd never guess who they have number one on this list.
Now, this is like people's voted favorite.
They did, but then ESPN ranked them after the fans did all their voting on their team.
I have no idea. The Cubs?
No, the Cubs are nowhere near the top. Like I said, I'd give you 20 guesses. You'll never get it.
The Ottawa Senators.
Well, you're in the right sport. The Tampa Bay Lightning are number one on the list.
Everyone's favorite.
See,
this list that I thought was stupid.
It's dumb. Yeah.
It's really stupid.
I know. This is why I did it.
I've heard one team name on the list. I already know it's a stupid list.
To be the number one franchise, shouldn't you win a title in the last couple of years?
Didn't they win one?
No. They've been to the Stanley Cup, but the Blackhawks kicked their ass. And then last year, they got done by the Penguins.
They
won one in 2007.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're going way back.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's supposed to be based on the last couple of years. Your Spurs are second. I mean, that makes sense. Panthers third. Seems a little high.
The Florida Panthers?
No, the Carolina Panthers.
Oh.
Packers fourth. Arizona Cardinals fifth. Your Nashville Predators sixth. There's a lot of hockey teams up there. It's kind of stupid. The Rangers are 10th.
Texas Rangers?
Texas Rangers are 10th. The New England Patriots, 17th.
Okay.
Seems a little low to me.
Bang for the buck, Fred.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's no buck banging going on there. Here's something that will rankle Rockets fan. Number 24, Dallas Mavericks.
Oh.
Man, the Rockets are...
They're a little ways down.
Yeah, I'm still scrolling and looking. Okay, here's one that if you're going to have all those hockey teams up there, how the bleep are the Chicago Blackhawks 35th? They're like the best franchise in the entire NHL. The Atlanta Hawks, the Los Angeles Kings, Indiana Pacers all come out 36, 37, 38, right in front of the highest-ranked Houston team at number 39, your Houston Texans.
At least they're not 16.
39 strong, right?
Yeah, at least they're not 16.
It's like top third.
But actually, that is kind of good because we're talking about every single franchise, right?
Yeah.
They're two spots ahead of the Arizona Coyotes, a team that people keep trying to get to move.
I'm going to see how many NFL franchises are ahead of them, and if they're 16, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, they're ahead of the Colts, too, which makes
no
sense.
Where's the next team on the list from Houston?
Well, I'm still scrolling. I'm still scrolling.
You didn't plan ahead with this list. I thought you were
No, it's just a long scroll. I've got it. But here's one. The one you thought would be number one, Chicago Cubs, 48.
Okay.
Which is kind of dumb to me. The next team on the list checks in at number 57. Would you guess Rockets or Astros?
I would guess Astros.
It is Astros. Astros are number 57.
Wait, hold on. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 32 and the Texans are 39?
Yeah.
What the hell?
This is the dumbest list I've ever seen. I love it. I like calling out people for stupid lists. This is stupid.
I'm sorry. The Charlotte Hornets should not be ahead of the Houston Texans.
Would you like to know where your Houston Rockets come out?
Out of how many?
122. I got to say, this is pretty damn low for
I think over under 88 is where I'm setting the mark.
Okay, you're going to...
I'm going to go slightly lower than 88.
Number 80.
Oh.
I think it's fair, though.
They overachieved.
Well, here's the three teams right ahead of them. Well, four. Your Buffalo Bills, 76.
The lowly Buffalo Bills.
The Colorado Avalanche at 77. The Seattle Mariners at 78. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are 79.
Yeah.
So you're worse than the T-Wolves on this list, Rockets. Right behind you, the Cincinnati Reds and New York Mets. That's not good company.
Hey.
Would you like to know who was last?
Yeah, who's dead ass last?
Dead ass last. I bet you could guess this one.
For the longest time, it was the L.A. Clippers. Remember, they were the worst run organization
they're
in sports.
They're not there anymore.
They're no longer there.
God, my Toronto Maple Leafs are number 118.
Is it the Cleveland Browns?
They're number 119. There are three franchises judged worse than the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, what sport?
NBA, NFL, NFL.
Ooh, worse than the Browns and the NFL?
Well, it includes fan experience and coaching
right.
And that crap. So
and ownership.
Yeah.
That's who I'm trying to think. Who has the NBA? I don't know what to go with here.
The dead last team, just think of a team that did a complete 180 a couple years ago.
Did a complete 180?
A complete 180.
Went from really good to really bad?
Yep.
Well, let's see.
A couple years before that, they did another complete 180. They went from really bad to really good to now really bad.
Who is it?
The Phoenix Suns.
Oh, I thought.
Oh, no. I was
talking about the NFL, I thought.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about dead last team.
Oh, okay. No, I thought you were talking about the NBA team. Phoenix is number 120. So now you have two NFL teams left.
That's the last two, huh?
Yeah.
Chong's given me a lot of clues, but I can't
I'll give you a clue for one of them. I mean, again, the fans had a big impact on this.
And these are bad fans?
These are fans that are unhappy fans.
49ers?
49ers are dead last. Congratulations.
Oh, man.
Number 121 kind of makes sense because it's the LA Rams. And
oh, yeah.
But this.
God, the 49ers are the worst franchise in sports?
Based on the criteria that they let the fans vote on, and this guy who wrote it, who I'm going to call him out, Peter Keating, who I've never heard of.
That's Peter King's stepbrother.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I thought it was Diane Keaton's husband.
It might be that.
Or
too.
Michael Keaton's brother. Although it's Keating, but you know, he changed his name to not.
Because he didn't want people to get him confused with Batman.
He's apparently a senior writer. This is really the worst list that...
or Beetlejuice.
This is the worst list that ESPN has ever done. So
it ranks 120 out of 122 on their worst lists.
Fair enough.
Not the worst.
Fair enough.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Man's Best Friend. Listen, it's unbelievable the difference your feelings, you know, when you got a bad dog... you try to think, okay, it's just a dog. They don't know what they're doing. But you get emotional about it. You get upset. You get angry. And then compare that to the feeling you have when your dog does the right things and when it's a good dog. It's night and day, guys. And dogs don't know what to do unless you teach them what to do. They're dogs. They're inherently dumb because they're not humans. And some humans are dumb, but dogs, obviously. You've got to show them what your expectations are. That's where Man's Best Friend comes in. I took my dumb dog to Man's Best Friend, told them what we wanted to focus on. When we got her back, she was no longer that dumb dog. She was a dog who was actually doing what I wanted. She understood what I expected from her. And she's now a happy member of our family. And I'm happy. And everyone's, my wife is happy. It makes everything better. Guys, check these guys out, please. If you've got a dog who's got behavioral problems, you need to board your dog. You want your dog groomed. Man's Best Friend is your spot. 2331 Bingo Road in Houston. Or give them a call, 713-932-6709. You can visit them online at mansbestfriend.com. Our listeners get 30% off all services just by mentioning ESPN 97.5. And if you go to the ESPN975.com website, you can register to win a $250 gift card to Man's Best Friend. Check them out. Man's Best Friend, mansbestfriend.com, the professional difference in dog training.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. This segment with RJ Bell is brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com,
a GE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And you know what that music means? After that awful list we just did, I know this guy's number one on every list. FounderPregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Always the best segment of the week. RJ Bell, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. We just hope we can get out there for that Ward Kovalev fight so we can cause some mischief.
So apparently it's you guys get out here 9 times a year or 10 times. That's a debate.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to, yeah.
Hey, the more the better, man. So... there's some interesting notes that you sent today, and I didn't realize this about Andrew Luck's home record versus his road record. So if it's okay with you, can we start with that? Because it's a fairly jarring stat.
I agree. And you think back to all these years playing, you know, so many games against the AFC South, you know, quite frankly, not a lot of good teams in the last 5 years in those games, and to still on the road be 16-18 straight up, 16-18 below 500, and at home 24-9. And Mike Lombardi, the former GM, talks about this. These dome teams have a big edge at home, that extra crowd noise, and the ability for their defense to get pressure, especially when you're in the lead, right? Remember back with Peyton Manning with the Colts and, you know, they had those edge rushers and that home crowd. It was very hard to throw from behind against the Colts, and I think it still is. And now you get away from that, and we know it's great to have a home field, extra home field edge, but then when you're on the road, you tend to be overrated because people are blending your home and road. But if you've got an especially big home edge, that means you're going to be overrated on the road, and you're going to become reliant on that edge. And I think we've seen that with the Colts. That's one of the reasons I actually like Tennessee a good bit here. Another reason is that I like Tennessee is they've been running the heck out of the ball. It's interesting. In the preseason, they were running the ball a lot. First couple games, they didn't. But 2 weeks ago against Miami, Tennessee ran the ball at 1.10 consecutive offensive plays. And then last week, they actually had 31 runs and only 24 passes. So the Colts are at the bottom of the league when it comes to rush defense. I think the Colts team is very tired. Let me give you a little breakdown. So they played in London a couple weeks ago. They were the first team in NFL history not to take a bye after that. They had a home game. Then they played, as you know, at Houston last week. Obviously fell apart in the second half, late in that game. And now they're on the road again. I think you got a really tired Colts team, a Tennessee team that wants to out-physical them. I would say one of my three best bets of the week, Tennessee.
I'm curious your thoughts on the Steelers-Patriots game. I'm guessing that number had been available. We're looking at maybe Pittsburgh plus four. I don't know what.
No. Remember now. So you can actually bet here in Vegas a week ahead of time. So you could have bet, no problem, at Pittsburgh-New England line before last Sunday's games, and the game was pick 'em.
Oh, my gosh. So we always talk about what a difference a player makes. And in this case, it's made a 7.5-point difference, Ben Roethlisberger to Landry Jones.
I don't usually say the words Landry Jones, so I'll just say backup as a Steelers fan. But what I will say is that at this point, I speculate the biggest movement in the NFL between a starter and a backup, any position, and obviously quarterback's going to be the leader when it comes to impact. I think right now it's Big Ben to his backup. And if you think about it, years ago, about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was out for five or so games, and he moved the line 10 points.
Oh.
And at the time, I talked about that being the biggest move in NFL history. That there's, because quarterback was never as important as it's been recently, and Aaron Rodgers has been, you know, the best quarterback, and the backups haven't been great at Green Bay. At this point, we can debate Aaron Rodgers how much he's worth. I know it's not 10. The question is it 6.5, 7, 7.5? But who else is in the conversation? We have examples of the other two that come to mind. Cam Newton was out Monday night. This was one of the more – I talked to about 10 bettors and bookmakers, and literally everyone said, I have no idea why this line's doing what it's doing. But let's think back a couple Monday nights ago. The early line was before Cam was hurt the week before when they were playing – on Monday Night Football, the early line was 7.5. And then Cam got hurt, Derek Anderson came in, and the line moved to 6. Now, that's almost hard to believe. Now, 7's a key number, so it's more than just a typical number. But Cam was, like, worth 1.5. Now, that doesn't make sense to me, but that's what the market said. But let's call him 3, 4, whatever, right? He's not in the top tier. Then you look at Brady. We know Garoppolo to Brady's about 2 points right now because Garoppolo looks so good. So who else is in the, you know, Big Ben, who else is in the conversation? Rodgers, we talked about that. So right now I think we can say Big Ben to his backup is the biggest move in the NFL. And by the way, Pittsburgh now at plus 7, only the second time they've been getting 7 or more at home since 1991.
Does that mean the number jumping up like it did, does that mean you see value in Pittsburgh, or are you just not looking to bet with their backup playing?
So there's an old stat that goes around about Belichick against rookie quarterbacks, and he's had a great record against rookie quarterbacks. And the theory is he knows how to trap them, right? Bait them, make them look like they got something and they don't. And all it takes is one pick six, right? And it's hard to win that game. Landry Jones is worse than a rookie in some ways. I just got to tell you guys. And I think last year you were defending him, if I remember. And I told you, you're going to regret it. And I think we all, we all did. Anyone at back Landry Jones. That said, I like the over in this game. Over is 46.5, 47. Here's why. New England's getting their points no matter what. In a competitive game, they're going to get their points, especially with the two tight ends, and Steelers a little beat up in the middle. Shazier, their fast linebacker, is going to play, but he's a little banged up. Now, Pittsburgh Tomlin, when he's fat and happy, he tends to be conservative. We've talked about that. Tends to be a little lax. We saw it last week. Miami dominated them. But when their back's against the wall, Pittsburgh tends to get very aggressive. Tomlin is not going to lose 21-10 and just kind of sit on his thumbs. He is going to do reverses, flea flickers, who knows what, onside kicks. All of those high variance plays not only increase the chance of Pittsburgh getting a lucky win, but it also increases the chance of the Patriots killing them. Either way, there's going to be more scoring. So it seems counterintuitive. I'm so sour on Landry Jones. But when a quarterback is that bad and you have an aggressive coach, sometimes it can lead to more scoring, turnovers and all that stuff. So I do like the over in the Pittsburgh game.
RJ Bell, our guest, as he is every Friday at this time. RJ, a game I was looking at and I can't pull the trigger on is I really want to bet the Raiders at Jacksonville, but I have a real problem with teams that are going West Coast to East Coast. Is there any reason that I should reconsider that? Because I'm probably just going to pass on it.
You know, one guy talked, the Raiders could be, 0-5. And this is a team that, to me, you look at their yards per play. I mean, there's just been so much interest in the Raiders early in the year in the sense of this. And I think it's true. You know, I was doing a San Francisco radio spot earlier today. And, you know, I was candid. I said, listen, I said midterm, a lot of things look good. The offensive line and the quarterback, Carr. But right now we're not seeing it. And if you look at yards per play, they're at the bottom of the league. You look at them on the road, last 35 road games, 8-27 straight up. You look at the Raiders going to the East Coast time zone, last 18 games, they've won twice, 18 games. The fact Jacksonville's favored is shocking. Last 64 games, this is Jacksonville's seventh time as a favorite. 57 times an underdog, seven times a favorite. So this is a total disrespect for Oakland, but I think it might be justified.
RJ, what about this? I got to ask you about the one of the game here, Buffalo-Miami, I wanted to get to because the Bills are playing great. Dolphins coming off that win against your Steelers. I still...
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, I know. It sucked. Hey, I didn't want to see that either.
That damn backup.
Yeah. For some reason, we have a bunch of Ryan Tannehill fans in the city who come out of the damn woodwork because you had to let them out of their box, so I'm blaming you for it. But the Bills obviously playing well, but Shady McCoy looks like he's not going to play. How much would that affect things?
Yeah, you know, half point, maybe. You know, running backs really don't affect things too much. Here's what I'll say, though. I believe the Bills are the most overrated team in the NFL.
What?
Yes. So I hear some skepticism.
A little from me. I'm a Bills fan, though.
All right. So here's the thing.
They've also a very rational person.
Yes, we all are. They've won four in a row. And if you look at each game, there's a reason to think it's a little less impressive than you might have thought, right? So number one is they beat Arizona. It was a 10 a.m. Pacific start. So, hey, it's still a nice win, but, you know, let's account for that. Then they beat the Pats, third-string quarterback making his second start, which is even more important because they had film on him. They saw his play set. They never expected him to have to start two games. They emptied the bank, and we saw they got shut out. Then they beat the Rams, and the Rams had literally cluster injuries on the defensive line. Then they beat who Vegas ranks the worst team in the NFL right now, the 49ers, literally worse than the Browns. Browns would be favored on a neutral right now against the 49ers. Small, but still. So you still have to win those games. It's easy that if Pittsburgh would have won last week, we would have said, oh, Dolphins stink. But it's not about saying the Dolphins or the Bills are a bad team. It's about saying they're not as good as they seem. The flip side is I think Miami's better than they seem. And the rationale being that Miami has only had one game this year with their offensive line intact, and it was last week, and they did dominate a pretty good Pittsburgh team. So I think if this game were on a neutral field, I think the line should be 3. The fact you're getting 3 with Miami in Miami, even though Miami doesn't have a great home field, I think all that home field advantage is gravy, and I would say my best bet of the week, Miami +3.
It's funny you say that you think Buffalo's the most overrated team. We've talked about that a lot here because we've looked at the Texans and last night, for instance, the Packers, who, when you look at their record, they're good, but they've struggled to beat really bad teams. In some instances, it's been, you know, they've come from behind, and then when they've played good teams, they've just been dominated.
Who are we talking about?
Well, I'm talking about
Green Bay
and the Texans.
Who has Green Bay struggled to beat?
The Giants.
They were up by, 14, and they got a backdoor score to make it 7? That's struggling to beat them?
I mean, are you outside the numbers? I'm talking about watching these games, RJ. Do you think they didn't struggle last night? They won by damn near 20 last night. They didn't play well.
But at what point do we start saying that the eye – and that's the old question, right? And I love this debate. Is it the eyes or is it the numbers? Because I'll tell you this, 90% of the serious sports bet – doesn't mean this is right, but it means it's right for sports betting. 90% of the serious sports bettors, it's all algorithms. It's all numbers. Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing that matters, but when a team – you look at the Patriots. If you look at their numbers, year after year, they overperform their stats because they never fumble when – remember, speaking of the Patriots, right? Or, I'm sorry, the Packers. Steelers in the Super Bowl, in 2010, driving Mendenhall fumbles. That just looks like one fumble, right? But can you see the Patriots fumbling in that spot? Maybe, but much less than an average team. I think McCarthy, I think Rodgers, you can question him with a lot of things. But these are teams that win those close games.
Well, but if you're talking about numbers, I mean, Buffalo's, their last four games, their four wins, they've won by an average of 17 points. And that includes two road games, including one at New England, one on the West Coast, and one against Arizona, who's fantastic. I mean, I think that maybe if it's about the numbers, the Bills they're not close to overrated, in my opinion.
But remember now, when Vegas says numbers, they're not talking about the scoreboard. And I'm not saying you're wrong because I'm making this distinction, but they're talking about yards per play. They're talking about even more advanced sabermetrics. So if you dig in, now here's the thing. Green Bay is a team.
But yards per play, Miami can't be considered good if that's the case.
But then here's the thing you got to ask yourself. Which games are representative of how the true team? Like, for example, if you look at Pittsburgh's stats this week, they're going to be blended in with their yards per play the rest of the year, but they have a backup quarterback that's a touchdown worse playing, right? I call him the backup. So it's a situation where Miami, 2 weeks ago when they got beat by Tennessee, one of my best bets of the week was Tennessee, they had two offensive linemen out on the same side of the ball, and what ended up happening was those two replacement linemen were cut the next Wednesday. So you want to talk about a drop-off, two guys starting that can't even make the team once the healthy guys come back. So I think numbers matter, but then you've got to go into your own. And again, this is something only professionals can do, or guys that want to spend 15, 20 hours a week on this at minimum. You've got to go in and touch up the database. The starting point is the raw numbers. Then you've got to touch up the database based upon weather, based upon injuries, based upon travel, all the different things that affect things. You've got to blend in those factors into the raw numbers.
I know we went a long time on that game. Can we get a quick thought on the Monday night game, Houston and Denver, before we let you go?
You know, this is one where obviously I liked Houston last week, and it was a lucky push, no doubt about it. And I think we're seeing some real problems with Houston. I just think one thing we talk about pretty much every week is profiling teams. Now, what does profiling mean? It means, do they do well as big favorites? Do they do well in close games? Do they do well as big underdogs? Certain types of teams. If I think of Denver against a solid team, I know Houston has their limitations, but I think Houston is built to be a 7.5 point underdog, because in theory they can throw a little bit from behind. Again, Osweiler has not met expectations. I agree with you there, and I'm sure you guys, I know you guys feel that. But is Simeon the guy that you want to win by more in a touchdown? So I think it's a situation where this is Denver's worst profiled spot as a bigger favor, and I quite frankly think Houston, it's a good spot for them as a big underdog, so I would lean that way. But I saw stuff with Houston last week I did not like, obviously, so I'll probably stay away from the game.
Real quickly, am I stupid for betting the Browns plus 10.5?
I would never say stupid, right? Because anytime you're taking double digits in the NFL, you're probably at least – so let's think about it. If you're laying 11 to 10, you've got to win 52.4% of the time to break even. Actually, 52.38. So that's the break even point. If you take a double digit dog, you're going to win about 51.5 just blind. So you actually have made up more than half of the VIG just by taking the double-digit dog, especially with Cleveland playing so hard. They're almost like a scrappy college team. I think as a big dog, you look at the record, they've covered a lot of games. So I think that's probably a good starting point.
All right, RJ, sorry we kept you a little long.
But no, it's my pleasure.
It's always fun. I love it when you two get into it over stuff.
Hey, I enjoy it too, right? So I can promise you this is – I think Vegas is going to be right more than 50% of the time, but we don't even always know what Vegas thinks, meaning, I spend a lot of time. What I do best is I synthesize what the bookmakers tell me and what the bettors tell me, and I'm lucky enough to have a big enough profile that the bookmakers and best bettors want to talk to me, or at least some of them do, and then I take that information, synthesize it, and share it with you guys and share it with other people. But it's not like you could have 7 out of 8 pros that I talk to like one thing, and then 7 out of 8 other pros like another. Now, usually I'm going to have a very strong Vegas opinion, but sometimes I'm even going to be on the wrong side of that. So when I disagree, it doesn't mean I'm always right, but I do feel like it's interesting to know the Vegas perspective.
All right, RJ, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. Quick break, short segment coming up. Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
segment with R.J. Bell was brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
Visit AcceptanceAppliance.com for all your home appliance needs.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
Texas A&M, Alabama, college football, Saturday at 2:30 on ESPN 97.5, presented locally by Doggett Heavy Machinery.
And we are back on the Blitz. Halloween is coming. So you get a new puppy and your best friend is known as Puppyzilla in the neighborhood. Turn your little monster into a prince with a little help from Man's Best Friend and ESPN 97.5. We're giving away a $250 gift card to Man's Best Friend. To help turn your doggy disaster into a companion, log on to ESPN975.com to enter or come by any of our station events for your chance to win. Your gift card can be used for obedience training, protection training, doggy daycare, and boarding. Man's Best Friend is your answer.
Woof, 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 woof.
Thanks.
A lot of dogs around here.
You know, sometimes you hear things on other shows on your station that are alarming. Today on our station, Travis Johnson hasn't been working here long, but he works here. He said this; these words came out of his mouth. My LA Sparks won a title last night.
Yeah, they give him crap. I think now he has like six wheeze.
I mean, the LA Sparks? I get it. He's a Cali guy, but... You really dropping, like, you're putting a claim on a WNBA team?
I didn't even know there was a championship game last night.
I had no idea. None.
Why the hell would you put, I mean, even I know you're not going to get any viewers even if you put it on a weekend. Why the hell are you going up against Thursday Night Football?
And baseball? Well, yeah. Baseball playoff game? Yeah, very dumb.
And BYU.
Yeah. Well, I only found out the game happened because... someone was complaining about like a bad officiating, and I like kind of ribbed him a little on Twitter. Like, what level of degeneracy have you fallen to? And then I looked it up, like what the, and there was like people retweeting a blatant shot clock violation. But I mean, it's unbelievable that a sport exists in this country, and I literally had no idea that not only did I not know the playoffs were happening, much less the finals, I didn't even know they were in season. That's where I sit on WNBA knowledge. Meanwhile, someone here puts a my before he names a WNBA team. Like, he's got a claim on the LA Sparks. You got a WNBA team you want to claim?
No.
Your Lynx lost last night.
No,
Minnesota's pretty much Canada.
I can't even name two teams. You just named the two that I think there's a Detroit team. That's about it.
What's the San Antonio team called?
They used to have a team. They still have a team? I don't know. I don't care.
John, do you know?
It's a bleeping WNBA.
You're a sports producer. What do you mean you don't know?
Gives a rat's ass. You know how important it was? I picked up, yeah, I pick up
championship of the world important.
Well, I'll tell you how important it was. I picked up a USA Today, as I always do on Fridays, to check the Sagarin lines. And
no mention.
There were seven pages in the section. The last page had all the stats, basically. You know, on top of page seven was your championship story.
The craziest thing about this whole about the WNBA to me is that WNBA players think they're underpaid. Like, they have a game that literally no one watches. No one.
Whatever they're getting paid is too much.
It really is.
It is.
I mean, I don't know about that.
No, they should pay for the right to play.
Because a lot of people do jobs that no one cares about. But
those are, some of those are important.
But they're like complaining about making six figures a year. Dude, that's a win in my book. You're doing something that'd be like us making six figures a year and having zero share ratings. I mean, it's crazy. It'd be like what these guys were doing on 1560 for years. You can't get away with that now.
Just do your read.
Well, Travis Johnson tells you about my Sparks.
I'm going to tell you about my computer career, not EDU. If you want a career with great income potential and job security, you're a WNBA player, you're looking to make some more dough, listen up. IT is a constant high growth sector. If you like working or playing with computers, a career in IT could be for you. For you career changers, there's only one place to check out, mycomputercareer.edu. Houston, one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. Companies hiring IT guys all over the city, but to get these jobs, you've got to have the skills and certification. The place to go, mycomputercareer.edu. My Computer Career is more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program that helps you get into the industry by partnering with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Many of the students start their first job in just a few months. You're attending class twice a week on campus or live online, so your learning fits into your life. And at My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. What are you waiting for? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation and find out if an IT career is right for you. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. I can never sell you
out now. You already feel so ESPN 97.5.